It's time for another Town Hall podcast from San Juan Regional Medical Center. I'm Maggie McKay, here with San Juan Regional Medical Center's President and CEO, Jason Rounds, and Chief Human Resources Officer, Neil Tietzworth. I know you both have a lot of great things to share with your caregivers about the April Town Hall, so let's just dive right in. First up, employee engagement. You recently conducted a caregiver engagement survey. Neil, can you share some of the results?
Absolutely, Maggie. So in January of this year, we initiated our first employee engagement survey since 2023. In 2023, 79% of our caregivers participated in that survey. This year, we had 83% participation, which meant 1,380 caregivers provided valuable feedback to us, which represents 228 caregivers more than in 2023 that provided us with great feedback and direction, compliments and criticisms that we can action plan from in order to improve the caregiver experience. On a 5-point scale, we scored a 3.63, which takes us from the 5th percentile of Press Ganey, our vendor for surveying, 5th percentile of their database, to the 11th percentile, which really represents a major stretch goal level rate of improvement. When you break it down, 19% of our employees answered questions in a way that categorized them as highly engaged. 33% answered questions in ways that labeled them engaged, and 32% of our caregivers answered questions in ways that indicated that they are kind of right in the middle, ready to be influenced, ready to be brought on board with continued focus on improving our many elements of the employee experience. And we look forward to working with these caregivers to bring them more and more into the engaged categories. Our leaders scored a 4.06 out of 5, which means that they were rated either very high or at a moderate level as far as the quality of leadership throughout our organization. And so we've got a series of action plans identified for us to focus on improvements that are above and beyond what we're already working on in a very comprehensive strategy, which is going to move the needle to, again, improve results similar to what we've done over the last 2 years as we survey again next year. So we're very excited about rolling up our sleeves and getting the work done to keep us on this path to improvement.
I know you're on a quest to become a highly reliable organization, and that includes being a highly reliable HR team to support the caregivers at San Juan Regional. What can you tell us about HR system enhancements?
So we are doing a wide range of initiatives over an 18 to 36 month period of time, all focused around improving the caregiver experience here. And secondly, making HR easy to do business with. So one of the key cornerstones that we've recently implemented is something called Workday Help. It is a ticketing system such that when somebody has an inquiry for someone in HR, whether it be benefits, compensation, talent acquisition, they can submit a ticket and it gets routed to the appropriate person so that those inquiries can be responded to quickly and in a high quality manner. We've also recently been doing a lot of compensation and benefits related work. And one of the most immediate deliverables that we've recently had is something called total reward statements. These provide caregivers with a broad understanding of not only their base pay, not only their pay plus supplemental pay, but what is the total investment that San Juan Regional is making in their employment when you look at things like the cost of benefits, the cost of retirement plans and how we contribute, and a wide variety of other benefits-related offerings that we provide in a manner that caregivers can see exactly the total investment that we are making in their employment here and have a fresh perspective on that. We've made great improvements in many of our technologies, including talent acquisition. We've implemented a system called Phenom, which improves our rate of applications that are received by people who land on our careers page. And it also has AI technology that helps us target prospective employees based upon where they are applying for jobs from across the country. So that's just a fraction of the many things we're working on that we're very excited about and committed to get done.
That's great. What are you doing to improve recruitment efforts for the organization?
Yeah, so we are in our second year of a very aggressive outreach to college campuses throughout the Southwest, ranging from Utah to Colorado to northern New Mexico to southern New Mexico and even down into West Texas. And so we have skilled professionals working with faculty members at many institutions of higher learning to work with nursing department faculty as well as then attend job fairs, really promoting our very unique and high quality nurse residency program, which is something that is very, very attractive to graduating nurses. At these campuses, we're also looking for other skilled emerging graduates that are coming out in all clinical disciplines as well as some business disciplines. And so we've seen great success over the last 12 months, looking for great performance in 2025 as the graduates prepare to come out of school in May. And we think it's a great advantage that we have over much of our competition because of how we're really doing a great job in this space. So that's really the primary area of focus, along with a whole lot of other work.
And there's another big HR project on the horizon, the UKG Dimensions Project. What can you share about that and what caregivers can expect?
This is really the most advanced state-of-the-art payroll, time and attendance, and scheduling technology that's available in the marketplace. We have been working for well over a year building this system to really maximize its features capability so that caregivers can easily track their time. Their schedules will be placed in this technology in ways where they can view it and tweak it and change it from their handheld device. They can easily pick up shifts, request time off, and get the kinds of schedules that best meet their personal needs and the needs of our patients. And so we were preparing to go live in April. We still have a little bit of work to get done in order for it to really be implemented in the highest quality, high reliability manner. And so we pushed the go live date to June 30th. And we're very excited about completing the training and all the communication so that people know how this system differs from our current Kronos system and allowing them to take advantage and benefit from the features that this new technology will provide.
That sounds ideal. And I know you have some good news you'd like to share, so don't be shy. It's time for your brag report.
So for the second year in a row, we have received an award, a top award from a not-for-profit organization here in the state of New Mexico called the Family Friendly New Mexico Organization. For the second year in a row, we received the highest award, which is the Platinum Award. The Family Friendly New Mexico Organization, their mission is to recognize and support employers that adopt and implement family-friendly policies so that businesses, employees, and their families can thrive. And when you look at the variety of things that we do that are so caregiver-friendly, flexible work schedules, very generous leave programs, very generous time-off benefits in the form of sick time pay, PTO and vacation, and many of the other policies that we have in place, we're affiliated with a 5-star childcare organization that does just great work for our caregivers so that while they're here caring for patients, being concerned about the well-being of their children is the last thing on their minds. So it's a real testament to this organization and its commitment to our caregivers that we've won this award a second year in a row, and we're very, very proud of that.
Jason, let's get into strategy and current strategic plan. What can you tell us?
As our caregivers know, we've been working on a strategic refresh for about the last year with a lot of focused effort over the last 6 months, working with our community, our board members, our medical executive committee, and the like. So we've just rolled out our new structure and format. It was approved by the board recently. The good news is we really stuck with our foundational base of our mission, vision, and values. We really didn't think we needed to refresh that. They've been at the forefront and core of our approach for a number of years. And honestly, our strategic pillars are not that different. There are a couple of key changes that I wanted to bring to the attention of the caregivers. A couple of things that were different as we really talked through this process is we wanted to visually represent the why behind what we do, and that is our patient. So when you see the new visual representation, front and center in the middle is our patient. So everything that we're doing is really designed to work around how best to support our patient in our community. The rest of it will look fairly familiar. We did do one key change in that we did bring to the forefront as a key pillar quality and safety. Under our previous strategic plan and how we represented it, it was really assumed that quality and safety were baked into our operation, which is absolutely what we want. But for strategic planning, we wanted to be able to better identify it and represent it going forward. So quality and safety is a key pillar in that. We have an aspirational goal of demonstrably being the best place to receive care. The rest of it, pillar-wise, looks very similar. So we have a pillar for caregivers and providers with the aspirational goal of being the best place to work. Operational excellence, which is consistent with what we've had before, with an aspirational goal of being a high reliability organization. And then our fourth pillar, consistent with what we have been focused on in the past, is finance and growth, with an eye toward having a sustainable mission and by advancing our financial performance. So we'll be rolling that out and talking about it in the days and weeks to come, but it really is going to drive how we approach the upcoming year for key initiatives, our goals, and the like. At the core of our strategies, as we did that update, we always do a community needs assessment. Once every 3 years, as a 501c3 organization, we're required to do it. We were doing them even before that. But in a community that needs so much, we are focused on three key areas in the upcoming years: access to care, diabetes, and oncology. We think there are meaningful ways we can make a difference for our community. And that was really also at the foundation and forefront as we did our strategic refresh.
We'll talk about financials in a minute, but first, what are the organization's priorities when it comes to supporting the health and well-being of the community? I know you touched on it briefly, but tell us a little bit about that.
Our focus is multifactorial. We've been talking a lot about the Healthcare Delivery and Access Act that was approved last year by our legislature. That's going to provide some additional funding for us. It has actually started. The money is starting to roll in. We want to be wise about it. As my favorite CFO likes to say, the legislature giveth and they taketh away. So we have some new money. We want to be wise in how we invest it and really not grow to rely on it wholly for our operational needs. Part of that, which we've been talking about, is how are we going to invest that money? It's going to be all along the lines of the categories we've been talking about. With respect to our workforce, we're looking at our compensation. We're looking at our benefit structure. We want to make sure that we can tell our story better. We want to make sure that we're investing in the core technologies and infrastructure that's going to carry us to the future. And we really want to focus on those efforts that are going to allow us to work better together as teamwork and support our patients. And we also want to be able to grow. One healthcare economist was talking at a recent conference and they compared healthcare to a tree. If you're not growing, you're dying. So with this opportunity of having a little bit of extra funding, we want to make sure that we're investing for our future. So we're looking at key service lines on how we can increase or enhance those, in addition to access points, locations within our community and the surrounding region we may want to focus on.
One big thing everyone wants to know about, as we touched on earlier, financials. Can you share a brief financial overview?
Sure. It has been an interesting year for healthcare finance and accounting, at least in Farmington, New Mexico. We had a couple of key challenges in our reporting. One of them being the Healthcare and Delivery and Access Act was approved by the legislature, but it had a number of hoops that it had to get through the federal government and others before that really became real. So for a budget period, we were running a set of numbers looking at this is what our finances would look like if the Healthcare Delivery and Access Act really gets approved and it happens when we think it does, or a kind of going concern if it doesn't happen. So that was an interesting challenge to make sure that we could reflect that in a transparent, meaningful way. We also had a couple of challenges with just our revenue tracking. So we were on a year-long process to get some coding corrected. So we were tracking that. That has all been corrected. The Healthcare Delivery and Access Act has been approved. And so we're kind of cleaning up our financials going forward. So the great news for us is we're in a very solid financial position. Our days cash on hand, which is kind of our dashboard indicator of how we're doing, is in excess of 280 days. And what that means is if for some strange reason all revenue stopped, how long could we continue operation under our current expense load? And that would be 280 days under our current measures. And we feel very good with that. So going forward, we've got some clarity on processes and our financials, but overall, we're in a very healthy and strong position wrapping up the end of the year.
And where are you making investments?
Right now in our core infrastructure. So some of the stuff that isn't exciting, you can't see it, but our electrical switches, our plumbing, our roofs, paint, and some of those areas are where we're making some significant investments and plan to do more in the future. We also have a huge construction project underway with our childbirth center where we're upgrading that unit to be just beautiful rooms that are family friendly and comfortable for the patients, really second to none in our region. So we're really excited about being able to offer that to our community. And we're hoping to do a ribbon cutting sometime toward the end of June.
That's exciting. How are you addressing increased local competition?
Well, we continue to do what we do best, and that's to be ourselves. We're focused on our patients at the center of that. We are looking at broad services that are needed in our community. That's one of the reasons we do our community needs assessment, that we're really focused on the services that are going to have the most meaningful impact for our community. One of the key things that we're focused on is access to our services. So looking at service lines themselves, how we recruit and staff those, how can we make it easier for referrals to our system, as well as where do we need to have access points or additional locations for those services throughout our region?
So let's celebrate your recent wins. What recognitions and achievements would you like to tell us about?
Oh, good heavens. We have a number of them. Talking about our childbirth center, they were recently recognized for the prestigious baby-friendly designation. So they scored a 98 out of 100 in the 2024 Maternity Practices in Infant Nutrition and Care. That's 16% above the national average and 18% above the Southwest region average here locally. And for receiving, once again, that designation, it just is more evidence that we're committed to implementing evidence-based care to ensure mothers delivering here are fully supported. Also, it crossed a significant milestone in robotic surgery, having completed our 1,000th, that's hard to say, robotic surgical procedure here. And so that service line is supported by a number of our surgeons, from general surgery to urology to our OB-GYNs. We provide a substantial number of these surgeries. I think we are doing more than even UNM in Albuquerque is doing, and they have three robots and a lot of surgeons that are down there. So we're very proud of that milestone and that achievement. We also were recognized recently in U.S. News and World Reports, our cardiology and heart and vascular surgery program for heart attack care specifically, scoring 5 out of 5 in their high-performing rating system. So a lot of great work by our caregivers and our physicians and providers here.
I have to say, Jason, that is all really impressive because it doesn't come easy. I know you have to work really hard to get those kind of ratings. Jason, in closing, let's talk about some positive takeaways of things happening on the horizon. It's about to be a time of celebration at the hospital. Is that correct?
That is absolutely true. We have a lot of activities that are going on in the month of May. I think we're kicking off with the Suzanne Smith Nurse Excellence Awards on May 7th. Nurses Week runs from May 6th through May 12th. And of course, we have Hospital Week that starts May 11th and runs through the 17th. And we have a number of our usual annual events, our department celebrations, our brick ceremony. We're having an education brunch this year. And of course, capped off by our Years of Service Awards dinner.
So where can people find out more about all that?
You can always find out information on our intranet site as well as the SJRMC Connect.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Neil, as well. Thank you both for your time and sharing all this useful information with us. We really appreciate both of you.
It's been a pleasure, Maggie. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you both. Again, that's Jason Rounds and Neil Tietz-Orth. And we are so glad to hear about all these opportunities for the organization to celebrate caregivers. They do amazing work every day, and I know the community is grateful for the care your hospital provides. So again, Jason Rounds and Neil Tietz-Orth. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out our entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Maggie McKay. Thanks for listening to Celebrate Health, a podcast from San Juan Regional Medical Center.